Chapter 10. The three men stood, side by side, staring into the wood. Fir thought that he was the only one who was properly terrified. Kylar had distracted the hunter by throwing Kurok into the wood. But there was nothing to stop it from coming back. Kylar calmly folded his legs and sat on the forest floor. The black skin retreated into the young man, leaving him in his underclothes. He studied the stump where his metallic right hand had been, barely noticing as the wood's autumnal glow deepened to a bloody red, and then began to lighten to green. Lantano Garuwashi, now soulless, stared with disbelief. But he wasn't seeing anything except the disappearance of Sior Celestos. The man who would be king was suddenly a Sioran, swordless, an outlaw, an exile, not even to be acknowledged. The cruel rain of implications was beating his future to dust. In the last week, Fir had seen this man act publicly as if Sior Celestos had been destined for his hands. But in private moments, Fir had seen glimpses of the young hedge Sasirai with an iron sword, who knew that whatever excellence he attained, he would never be accepted among those born to greater blades. It was an enormous turnaround for a man who'd reconciled himself to hard realities. And now he was staring a new, much harder reality in the face. Fir wondered how long it would be before Garuwashi decided to kill himself. Lantano Garuwashi wasn't a man who would easily give up his life. He believed in himself too much. But this disgrace would surely overwhelm that. The thought left Fir oddly hollow. Why should he mourn Lantano Garuwashi's death? It would mean Scenario would escape another brutal occupation, and Fir would be released from his service to a hard and difficult man. But Fir didn't want Garuwashi to die. He respected him. Magic flashed so intensely, Fir's vision went white. It lasted only a fraction of a second. Kylar gasped. Blinking away tears, Fir looked at him. Kylar appeared unchanged, still half-naked, still staring toward the wood. He stood slowly and stretched his arms. "Much better," Kylar said, grinning. He had both arms. He was whole. Kylar shook himself and his skin was cloaked in black again. He didn't cover his face with the grim mask of judgment. This time, he carried a slim black sword in his hand. Lantano Garuwashi dropped to his knees and spoke to Fir.
"This path lies before you. Fight Kalador and become a great king." "This you told me. And I heard only my heart's desire, that I would show those effete nobles in Ainu what their mocking was good for. That I would be Siora's king. I did not fight Kalador. And now my Sioros is lost. Thus has Lantano Garuwashi reaped death for faithlessness." He turned. "Night Angel, will you be my second?"
A brief look of confusion passed over Kylar. Then his eyes showed recognition. After Garuwashi made a lateral cut through his own stomach with a short sword, his second would strike his head from his shoulders to finish the suicide. It was an honor, if a grisly one, and Fir couldn't help but feel slighted.
"Fir, Nephilim, messenger from the gods whom I ignored. I would have you serve another way," Garuwashi said. "Please, carry my story to the warriors and to my family. A chill went down Fi'ir's spine. Not only would every Sa-Seer eye in the world know that Lantano Garawashi had died here, but they would know Sior Celestos had been thrown into the wood. No matter how Fi'ir told the story, it would be retold until it fits Sioran beliefs. The best swordsman, the best sword, and the deadliest place would be tied together forever in Sioran myth. Every new 16-year-old Sa-Seer Eye who thought he was invincible, in other words, most of them, would head for the Dark Hunter's Wood, determined to recover Sior Celestos and be Lantano Garawashi reborn. It would mean the death of generations. Kylar's face changed. It started as black tears pouring from his eyes. Then his eyes themselves were covered in black oil. Then, in a whoosh, the mask of judgment was back. Black eyes leaked incandescent blue flame. Studying Lantano Garawashi, he cocked his head to the side. Fi'ir felt a chill at the sight of that visage. Any shred of childhood that had been left in the young man Fi'ir had met 6 months ago was gone. Fi'ir didn't know what had replaced it.
"No," the Night Angel pronounced. "There is no taint in you that demands death. Another Sioros will come to you, Lantano Garawashi. In 5 years, I will meet you at dawn on Midsummer's Day in the High Hall of the Ainu. We shall show the world a duel such as it has never seen. This I swear."
The Night Angel slapped the thin blade to his back, where it dissolved into his skin. He bowed to Garawashi, and then to Fi'ir, and then he disappeared.
"You don't understand,"
Garawashi said, still on his knees. But the Night Angel was gone. Garawashi turned wretched eyes to Fi'ir.
"Will you be my second?"
"No,"
Fi'ir said.
"Very well, faithless servant. I don't need you."
Garawashi drew his short sword, but for once in his life, Fi'ir was quicker than the Sa-Seer Eye. His sword smacked the blade from Garawashi's hand, and he scooped it up.
"Give me a few hours," Fi'ir said. "The hunter is distracted. With 5,000 flies in its web, one more may go unnoticed."
"What are you going to do?"
Garawashi asked.
"I'm going to save you. I'm going to save all your damned, stiff-necked, infuriating, magnificent people. I'm probably going to get my damn fool self killed."
"I'm going to get your sword back,"
Fi'ir said. And then he walked into the wood.